Welcome back. This is Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hannah Stanley with you today. And today we are talking about the Food as Medicine program that's going to be occurring at Resurrection University. It will be Thursday evening, February 23rd, coming up very, very soon. It's from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and it is free and open to the public. If you even have a passing interest in how nutrition can benefit you or your family, this is something you want to check out. Resurrection University is over in Wicker Park at 1431 North Claremont. Joining me right now is Dr. David Miller. He is not only a medical physician, an MD, but he's certified in pediatrics and Chinese medicine, and his practice, East West Integrated Medicine, is located in Chicago. Dr. Miller, thanks so much for staying with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We were talking earlier not only about how nutrition can benefit our children, but also what you guys are going to cover. And in this particular one, which is the second in a series, you've already done Food as Medicine 1. This is Food as Medicine 2. You're going to be talking about smoothies and different different diets that are currently either trendy or have been in the forefront of our society, including everybody's doing gluten-free right now.
Right.
but that's not necessarily bad if that's what you need.
Right.
However, it's the figuring out what you need, which is incredibly crucial. And I'm assuming you guys are going to cover that, because some diets, Dr. Totes and I talked last week, raw diets are very great for some people. And so their friends will be like, well, I'll try a raw diet. And it's not necessarily the best for them. How do you establish what you need dietarily?
Well, I think in a way I would say that's both hard and simple. Very Chinese thing to say, I suppose. But it's hard in the sense that, to some degree, each person has their own sort of eating profile that kind of works best for them. And you also have to dive around things like food allergies and different types of food intolerances that people may have, that's going to adapt kind of some of the foods you can include and not include. And I think we have very poor ways right now of, in any sort of objective sense, determining who's going to fit best into what eating plan. That's almost, it's like tipping into the realm of medical genomics, which is just this, not there yet in terms of being accessible to us as an everyday person and figuring out what's best for us to eat.
Right.
That said, there are certain things that are very simple about eating, and there's certain rules that in general are going to be true for pretty much everybody. And in general, I would say, the rules on that are going to be that eating as low on the food chain as you can is generally what you want to be the base of your food pyramid. So fresh plants, fresh fruits and vegetables more than fruits, not a lot of starches, not a lot of like a carb heavy diet. As not overcooked as possible. So even people who don't tolerate raw foods still don't need their foods cooked to death.
Okay.
When you cook, your broccoli so that it turns brown, then you've destroyed a lot of the nutrient content to it, and that's not the goal either. So there's an aspect of simplicity in the sense that that's pretty much true for all of us. Many people, if they don't have a religious or philosophical objection, to eating meat, for example, will benefit from small amounts of meat. From an Eastern standpoint, like partially for historical access reasons and partially for reasons of, experiment, trial and error, small amounts of meat were typically incorporated into the diet on a regular basis. But that was little bits of meat. So like when you go to the Chinese restaurant and you get a traditional Chinese dish, you get mostly vegetables with some meat kind of thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
You would not go and get like a 23-ounce steak at a meal. Like, nobody actually needs that, And so, moderation in eating some of those foods that are higher up on the food chain is a great rule for just about everybody. And so it's that mix of finding what works best for your body, but also really adhering to some of the basics of eating nutrient-dense foods so that you're giving your body all the building blocks it needs to do what it wants. And for listeners who are like sports enthusiasts and who are exercising, intensively, like part of that process is creating tissue damage that then repairs and creating growth. And you need resources for that. And so I see people, kids too, and adults, you know, relying on things like very poor quality protein shakes to support themselves for really, really rigorous athletic training. And what you're doing is you're keeping yourself going, but you're not actually providing your body everything it needs to properly grow and heal itself. And you're ending up creating inflammation in the body and negative processes that you can tolerate for a little while you're young, but will lead to breakdown in not very long.
That's really fascinating, because I see some of these granola bars or protein bars, mm-hmm. or these shakes, and there are a lot of sugar in it.
There are a lot of sugar. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Wow. So
you got to pick really carefully.
So when we are going to try to fuel ourselves or mm-hmm. prep, and actually I saw somebody post online yesterday, they went to the gym and they're starting a new workout program and, you know, trying to be healthy, healthier lifestyle. And
yeah.
And he posted that he had learned a lesson because his blood sugar dropped too low mm-hmm. at the end of the workout. And they had to actually stop. I believe he's working with a trainer, because he said we had to stop mm-hmm. a few minutes early. And mm-hmm. and that's another thing where we don't really have a good knowledge base on how to prepare either for a workout or for an athletic outing, you know,
right.
I think athletes do, but mm-hmm. but the general population thinks, okay, well, you know, my favorite athlete drinks this drink, Gatorade, let's
right.
say, and so
yeah.
I need Gatorade before I go do this, and that's not necessarily the way to do it. How can we better arm ourselves with knowledge to be healthier
yeah.
when we try to be healthier?
Right, absolutely. Well, I think it comes down to being partially a savvy consumer. And recognize that we're being marketed to quite aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, just because our favorite athlete eats or drinks this or that doesn't mean it's actually good for us. And that is marketing. So when you're looking, I mean, there are some really great meal augmentation or even replacement products on the market. But what you're looking for in those is products that are as chemical-free as possible. Like, they should have mostly natural ingredients, and they should be very low carb for the most part. You don't also need like a million grams of protein in a single serving.
Mm-hmm.
So eating a massive amount of protein in a single serving also isn't really physiologic. So if you're going to use some of those products, they should be moderated products with no chemicals, no artificial sweeteners, for God's sake, and those kinds of things in them. And no stimulant products in them. You don't need the caffeine, the guarana, the ginsengs, and, you know, sort of your Red Bull type of approach to energy development. And so really people should steer towards, again, those whole foods. Like, I think like trail mix is a vastly underrated food option, partially, you know, for kids and for people who are training, where you get raw nuts, not fried in palm oil or whatever, but just nice raw nuts, maybe from a bin section. You create your own trail mix, combine it with some good quality goji berries or some other sort of dried fruit. You can use some 70% plus, you know, chocolate chips if you want to sweeten it up that way, and have a quarter cup of that or a half cup of that. That'll give you a great serving of omega-3 fatty acids, zinc, selenium, other micronutrients, proteins, and some sugars, but it'll be in a complex carb form that'll really help to keep your blood sugars much more even. Even if it's a health bar, if it's got 30 grams of carbs in it, it's going to be very simple carbs. It's going to spike your blood sugar, and then it's going to drop you again, too. So it doesn't matter if it sort of says healthy on the bar. You know, simple carbs are simple carbs, and that's how your body manages them. So getting back to eating real food is the best kind of thing. But if you're using a meal supplement product, the cleanest product that you can find is the way to go.
And then as far as beverages, because that's where a lot mm-hmm. of people drink
right.
their meals. And
right.
You and I have talked, you've mentioned smoothies multiple mm-hmm. times, and you guys are going to cover mm-hmm. that at this
sure.
event.
Yep.
But those aren't as convenient to necessarily make in the morning and then have after your workout.
Right.
What do we do? I like water.
What do we do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like water.
Right. Water is great. Absolutely. In a person who is well-nourished, and who's not doing really, really extreme exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're running a 26-mile marathon in the sun, then you should be using an electrolyte electrolyte solution for your rehydration. But if you're just going to the gym for an hour, even if you're having a vigorous workout, water is all your body needs.
Okay.
If you're basically well-nourished, you store up enough of the salts and other potassium and things, you don't need that much nurturing in that short period of time. Coconut water can be another good option for people. It has a little bit of carb in it. It has some flavor to it if they're needing something more than just water with flavor. The other thing that people could do is they could get a bottle of water and put in a splash of something like pomegranate juice, or the pomegranate blueberry juice is super tasty, but just a splash of it to give it a little bit of flavor and make it more palatable. And that's plenty of rehydration supply for your body for a reasonably moderate workout.
I'm always interested by people who say they don't like water, and I think that's not allowed. You have to like water.
There are a lot of people that they cannot get down plain water, and I don't get it, but I
don't
hear
either.
Them. And, you know, but a splash of juice in the water will totally change it, or add some lemon to the water. Sometimes that's all people need.
Yeah, like if those people had lived in earlier days, they would have died. That was all we had.
Right. There are certain aversions of abundance that we have that, you're right, would not have existed.
Like, you people don't know how good we have it.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right. So we have got this event coming up. I will mention that it is free for the public to attend, because I really, really want people to understand it is open to the public and free. You can register ahead of time. But I wouldn't be talking about something necessarily that was this important if it wasn't free, but this is going to be on Thursday, September.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Ooh, nope.
That's coming out in editing.
There you go.
Thursday, February 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. You can register by going to resuthinkingoutloud.com. It's R-E-S-U, thinkingoutloud.com. As I mentioned, it is the second in a series. Hopefully this will not be the last one. I find this to be incredibly fascinating, and I'm hoping to attend myself. And and the program will be streamed live. So if you cannot make it, you can receive a link 1 to 2 days before the event so you can watch it from home, but you have to register to get the link. Super, super important. That's a great option. That's a really great option.
Really generous of Resurrection to do that.
Very, very generous. So if you cannot make it to Resurrection University's Wicker Park campus at 1431 North Claremont, go to resuthinkingoutloud.com, register, and you can get that link. That's fantastic. So, Dr. David Miller, any closing thoughts?
Well, just that, you know, I think that over time, you know, as we get more scientific about our nutrition and thinking about how to best, you know, optimize our feeding, that it's directing us more and more back to basics. And so it gets back to the more, you know, processed the food, the more scientific the food sort of seems, actually probably the worse for us it is. And the best thing we can do is to eat those whole natural foods in, simply prepared ways, and get that nutrient density into our diet, eat in moderation, and focus on some diversity in our eating as well, and we'll be giving our bodies everything we need.
Very, very wise words. Thank you, Dr. Miller, for your time. And stay tuned, everybody. Eric Meredith, dietitian, health education specialist, and personal trainer, is going to join us next, talk more about the event and how it can benefit you as well. Hannah Stanley, Beyond Sports, ESPN 1000, and ESPNChicago.com. More after this.